it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, and yes, it is time for Silly Underdog Picks here on the show, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Willie Donick is in Calgary, and he will not be joining us for Underdogs today, but he has given me the results. We say hello to the panel. On with us, George Plaster, Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders. And guys, I am happy to report that he provided me the info for Silly Underdog Picks last night. He actually got ahead of the game.
That's a little awesome. Surprised.
I'm just glad he's not there today.
Kelly does not like our commissioner.
Man, he sure doesn't.
He does not. Director, your thoughts.
Kelly's always such a ray of sunshine.
He is. I don't understand.
Kind of well, that's like what happens in today's society. When you tell the truth, everybody thinks you're negative.
Okay, true. Yeah, you're right about that. You're a hater.
He's got a point.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a hater. All right, let's get to our review. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really think any of us want to review, but we're going to do
Absolutely
it anyway. That's how it is. So week nine, the results. George Plaster had the first pick, and he went with, I can't read Willie's writing here, Arizona State, a 13.5-point dog, or he went Colorado. Who'd you take? I can't read his writing.
I took North Texas.
Well, whoever you took, they lost.
Yeah, I took Arizona State. No, yeah. I took Colorado.
You took Colorado. That's what it was. All right, you took Colorado. He just does this weird. You took Colorado, 13.5-point dog. Did not go well. 42-34 was the final. And no points for a cover, George. So did not work out for you.
No, may not be points for a cover, but there can be other benefits.
Yes, that is very true. D-Mace had the second pick. He went with Rutgers playing at Minnesota. He thought that the boat would not be rowed, but Minnesota had other plans. A 14-point dog does not work. 31-0 the final.
Oh.
No points for D-Mace.
Damn. That's all I can say.
Next up was Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders went with a big matchup in the ACC, a team that George used to work for in Georgia Tech.
Oh.
24 points at Florida State, 41-16 the final. Seminoles getting the best of the Yellow Jackets. Oh. Not working for Chris Sanders.
Hey, Derek, what was that word you just said?
Damn.
That's
tag team right there. It was good. I had the next pick going with Nebraska. I don't know why I did that, but Nebraska, 7.5-point dog. Facing Illinois, home dogs did not bark louder. 26-9, the final. Not good for Nebraska and the Cornhuskers. Is they're just looking to move on to bigger and better things. We'll see who their head coach is going to be. Maybe it's Matt Rhule after he got fired, but not good for them. Kelly Holcomb was next up, and he went with Washington State, a 7-point dog. And, Kelly, this was a close one. Against Utah, but again, no points for a cover. 21-17
the final. As we know, close doesn't matter. Derek, what was that word again?
Damn.
Can I get one too?
Damn.
Kelly would then have the first pick. You know, and I'm noticing a theme here. I'm much more efficient at this
than
Willie.
I
mean, we just move. We're just moving through. There's not much to talk about. Kelly had the Detroit Lions, as I also picked them in some other things, as George alluded to. 3.5 points. Dolphins get the best of them, 31-27.
Hit me up again, Derek.
Damn.
You know what, though, Kelly? Like, they're not winning, but those players seem to like to play for Dan Campbell.
I know. I mean, they're getting closer, man. They were ahead in that game. Once you start losing, that becomes a habit, just like winning is a habit, and that's kind of where they're at right there. If they can ever get over that hump, they got something.
Yeah. I hope they keep him, though. I think he's building a culture. So, we'll see.
I agree.
I had the next pick and had faith in Aaron Rodgers on the big stage. Chips are down. Sunday Night Football, 11.5 points against the Bills. Didn't work. They did cover, but didn't work for me to get the win against the Bills. 27-17, the final. The Bills continue to roll. The Packers, though, they have issues. Aaron Rodgers does not have a team around him.
No.
Well, that's his fault.
Well, it is. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit his fault.
Chris Sanders would have the next pick, and he decided to go with the Battle of Pennsylvania and take the Pittsburgh Steelers, an 11-point dog, playing at Philadelphia, 35-13 the final. A.J. Brown goes off for Philly, and no dice for Chris Sanders.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, I'm just reading the results, okay? A.J. looked good, though.
He really did, man. He's a boss now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it was a boss here.
Yeah,
I know. I wish it had
been. D-Mace goes with the Panthers.
Man.
4-point dog at Atlanta. Needed overtime.
Yeah.
And honestly, you should have won the game. DJ Moore makes one hell of a catch.
And then gets a penalty.
Gets a penalty, which backs the extra point up to make it like a 40-something yarder. Goes into overtime, and Falcons win it 37-34.
Two things that are my least favorite things happened. He gets a penalty, and then they rely on the kicker. Damn. Man. Goodness.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
That is what happens sometimes.
Boy.
George Plaster would have the final pick in the National Football League, and he went with the soon-to-be Dan Snyderless Washington Commanders. A 3-point dog at the Colts, and the Colts in control for most of the game, and they squander it away. But so George gets the win, 17-16 for 3 points. Director, your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll give up the 3 points if we can get rid of Daniel Snyder.
Well, I think it's happening.
Yeah.
It's
in the process.
I'll believe it when I see it. This guy's a termite.
Yeah, he is, but I mean – the report comes out that they've brought in Bank of America to help with the sale. I kind of feel like the other owners must have something that he can't combat.
Oh, I think they told him at the meeting, you know, Irsay comes out and says, you know, you might ought to leave. I think inside the room, I think they told him, you're leaving.
Yeah, that's what I think too. So after... Yeah. 9 weeks, the standings are as follows. Chris Sanders, still with a commanding lead at 7-9 and 83 points. D-Mace is second at 5-12 with 52 points. I come in third, 6-11 with 40 points. Kelly, also at 6-11 with 32 points in fourth. And George at 6-11 with 29.5, bringing up the rear.
Well,
it's not good.
It's not good, fellas.
It is not good. So, coming up next, we will have the picks for this week. Derek Mason will lead us off, followed by Chris Sanders, yours truly, Chase McCabe, Kelly Holcomb, and then Plaz with the last pick in the back-to-backs going into the NFL. And I'll try and get the contest winner as well, as he did not give me that info. So, the commissioner did fail. There, it is Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. You can download their app today. We'll have the picks coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and by Superbook Sports. It's time now to make the picks. As D-Mace, Chris Sanders, Chase, a.k.a. me, Kelly, and George Plaster, that is the order. We kick things off with Derek Mason. You're so excited right now, aren't you?
All right. My pick, I'm going back home, fellas. I'm going back home. You can always go back home.
Uh-oh.
Don't do it.
You can always go back home. It's not where you're at. It's where you're from. All right? I'm going back home.
Getting the players out of jail.
East Lansing. We don't want to hear that stuff. East Lansing. I'm going back home to East Lansing. And I'm picking my Spartans. I'm picking the Spartan dogs out there. Y'all listening? We regrouping. We're regrouping and we're coming back, all right?
No.
What happened in that tunnel? I don't condone it, but we're coming back to play football this week, okay? I'm picking my Spartans.
He is going with his Spartans.
Going with my Spartans. What are they? 14-point dogs, 12-point dogs, somewhere around there?
They are 17-point
dogs. 17-point dogs. That's how we like it. Our Spartan dogs. We're dogs, so we're going to win this.
On the road at Illinois. So he is taking the road dogs of Michigan State at Illinois.
Spartan dogs going down there and taking that champagne.
I don't think.
Taking it.
I don't think anybody had that, but, you know, hang on.
I didn't care if anybody had it. I had it, okay?
The passion. The passion from one Derek Mason. That leads us to Chris Sanders. Can we change up?
All righty. Yeah. Michael Jackson. This is what I'm going to go with. I'm glad I'm picking second because I don't want nobody to pick this one. Charlotte over Western Kentucky. Let's go.
Chris, nobody was going to pick it at. Okay?
I thought somebody was. I was like, man, I was nervous. I'm glad I didn't pick fourth.
I looked at it as I was scrolling through other games. I saw it, and I just kept going.
Appreciate you,
Jason. Okay. Love you, brother.
Love and care.
Charlotte, a 16-point dog at home against Western Kentucky.
Does Chris know that they lost their coach too? Does he understand that?
He don't care.
Hey, I'm just glad that he knew who was favored and who wasn't. So.
Oh, see, that's you guys are mean.
Yeah, you got a point there.
That is a good point.
I'm you know, I just had to make sure there. All right.
Thanks, Chase. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? Anything for you. That leads us to yours truly.
The King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
Well, I did this a few weeks ago and it worked, so I'm going to keep it going. Give me the Vols plus the 8 on the road against Georgia.
You're going to win that one.
I mean, it's there. It's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for me against Alabama.
Yeah, there you go.
So I will do it again. Give me Tennessee. Anybody have it? Anybody think about it?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. You have to. All right. So I have Tennessee. Give. Let's move on to Kelly Holcomb.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Done shot me a possum. Hey, is there any 50-point games on tab this week? Any 50-pointers?
There might be a few. No, I don't know.
Any Chris Sanders picks? Absolutely. I got a couple for you.
Yeah, Northwestern against Ohio State, getting 38.
Well, it's still not 50. So, you know what? Give me – I'm going to say the Golden Hurricanes of Tulsa – break up this winning streak of the Green Wave of Tulane.
Tulsa.
Home dogs, baby. Let's go.
He's going home dogs bark louder. Tulsa. I got to find it, Kelly. I'm working on it.
Oxygen channel. I'll give you one if you want.
He said it's an oxygen channel.
What time is that game?
I think pregame starts at 6:30 and they do it at 7 in the morning.
Okay.
What? It's under tackle football.
Thank you, George. Do we have any?
We do have.
Here we go. 7.5. Tulsa 7.5-point dog against Tulane.
I told you it was 20, Chase.
I know. I still have to check. And you were wrong.
By just a little bit.
So Kelly takes Tulsa. That leads us to George Plasta.
Chase, we have a couple of program notes for you.
Oh, yes. Give it to us.
Stonehill this week. Chris Sanders' game of the week is a 7.5-point favorite over Wagner. You can hear the game on the Stonehill campus station, 91.3 WSHL.
So, George, does that mean once you leave campus, you can't hear it anymore?
Correct.
The 91.3 is how many feet of the campus station you can hear it.
Look, I don't know if I believe this or not, but I think it's going to be close. I'm going to take LSU.
That'll end all speculations of three teams getting in.
Oh, yeah, that'll ruin that. There's no doubt about that. LSU, a 13.5-point home dog against Alabama. Interesting pick by the director. On the competition, he has the next pick with the first one in the National Football League.
The Deadskins.
Going with him again.
You're just going to ride this wave, aren't you? The Washington Commanders are a 3-point home dog against the Minnesota Vikings, and George goes with them. So the soon-to-be Daniel Snyderless Deadskins, as he likes to call them. All right, that leads us to Kelly Holcomb.
I'm gonna go the same route as George. We talked about how bad the Packers were. Give me the Lions.
I looked at that one, man.
The Detroit Lions +3.5 at home against the struggling, mightily struggling Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I don't hate it. That leads us to yours truly. I like that. I was looking at that too. I am going to go with... I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with the Bears +5 at home against Miami.
Man, okay.
All right, next up in the NFL is Chris Sanders.
Man, I was nervous. I thought somebody was going to pick it. I'm going with Houston.
I knew it.
Over Philadelphia. That's going to be the upset of the year right there, baby. They got their red helmets this week. Upset of the week or the year.
You're picking based on helmets.
Yeah.
Yep, because they red.
The Texans, without Brandon Cooks, by the way. The Texans will play the Eagles tonight on Thursday night at home, +13.5 home dogs. Chris Sanders
It'll
going with them.
It'll also be on 91.3 at Stonehill.
Have y'all's phones ready.
We'll turn them off. Don't worry.
Listen, if they win, I'm just going to start picking just crazy picks after this if they win.
That leads us to Derek Mason with the final pick.
I am going with the Ursay Colts. Going with the Colts.
Colts +5.5 on the road against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't hate that one. All right, let's review. Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Derek Mason had the first pick, and yes, he went.
The Spartan Dogs!
With the Spartans of Michigan State. Plus 17 at Illinois in Champaign. Chris Sanders was up next. He goes with the now Will Healy-ist. Healy-ist? Whatever. Charlotte. Plus 16 against Western Kentucky. Looking at a home dog there, looking for big points to pad his lead. I was up next. I go with the Volunteers of Tennessee. Plus 8 on the road at Georgia. Kelly Holcomb would be up next, taking Tulsa. Plus 7.5 against Tulane. Then it was George Plaster selecting LSU at home against Alabama. A big rivalry game. At night, 13.5 would go his way with a Tigers win. Then we shift to the NFL. George had the pick, taking the Commanders, plus 3 against Minnesota. Kelly Holcomb was next with taking the Detroit Lions against Green Bay, plus 3.5. I would stay in the NFC North by taking the Bears, plus 5 against the Miami Dolphins. Chris taking tonight's game, the Houston Texans getting 13.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And finally, Derek Mason would take Jim Irsay and the Colts plus 5.5 against the New England Patriots. As always, you can play online at thegamenashville.com. And gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you.
I get a thank you. I like that.
Chase, it flows so much better with you, man. Can you see? And then we don't have to look at George, because George feels like he's at liberty because he gave Willie his start, so he feels like he's at liberty to just run his mouth the whole time. So when you're there, you stunt that, which is awesome.
Well, I do what I can, Kelly, and I do it Thanks, for the brother. People.
If you're ever coming up for a commissioner, dude, I'm voting for you.
I appreciate that so much.
Hey, Chase, you know what I think about what you're doing today?
What's that?
you know he's going to hang up.
Why did you fall for that?
No, because I wanted him to do it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. Guys, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
So yeah,
Kelly, you continue to spread all that sunshine that you do throughout the community.
I do have sunshine. You just bring the worst out of me, George. See ya.
I believe that part.
George Plaster, Kelly Holcomb, and Chris Sanders joining us here on the program for Silly Underdog Picks. Coming up next, we will get back into the Tennessee Titans and maybe check in on some things that Todd Downing and Shane Bowen said earlier today. It's Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, tune in for this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3. This week's game will feature the Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets at noon. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Red Spirits & Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie's going to try and have an interview sent to us a little bit later after they didn't skate this morning. But Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator, addressed the media earlier today, and here's some things he had to say.
Challenge this week, Shane, right? You just have to go into Arrowhead prime time, and oh yeah, there's some guy named Patrick Mahomes. Having seen him and defending him the last couple years, does that help at all as you go into this game?
Yeah, I mean, they're tops in the league and just about everything for a reason, right? He's an extremely special player. They got talented guys around him, you know, so we got to have a plan together, and hopefully our guys can go out and execute. And we got to be able to execute with technique, fundamentals, do all the little things. Because if you get caught, like, it's a big play, they're going to make you pay for it. So we got to make sure we're on our game, play in and play out.
How have you seen third down defense, their first and third down offense? What will ultimately determine what games they
have? Yeah, I think our execution and then whoever makes more plays, you know. I mean, they got a bunch of playmakers out there. We're going to have to do a good job understanding whatever coverage we're playing, being able to execute that, being able to affect the quarterback and rush, all that plays a part as well. But ultimately, whoever makes those plays on third down, it's going to play a big role in the game.
How have you seen them continue to have that success in the passing game, even though Tyreek Hill isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a great job schematically with what they do. Obviously, Kelsey's having a monster year right now. I think those other guys have came in there. They've gotten all on the same page. I think they understand kind of how it's what they've done in the past, and they fit in well with that. And, I mean, ultimately, Mahomes is able to create some plays that most aren't, right? Able to elude pressure, to extend plays, and you get all these faster guys, these stronger guys that catch it, and they're able to separate. And Kelsey's the same, recognize coverage and be able to separate and find voids in the zone. And as those plays get extended, they catch them, and they're tough to tackle once they do get the ball. So, I mean, I think it's just kind of continued from where it's at. Those guys have stepped in, and they're rolling.
You seem to push the ball down the field as much, even though she did. Cheetah's not there anymore.
Yeah, they'll take the shots. I mean, they have a big one against San Francisco. I mean, some of those other big plays have been missed tackles or some bust at times, but they're down there. You know, they're running. So, I mean, we're going to have to make sure we're staying on top of things and making them earn it and doing a good job when they do throw underneath, coming up and tackling those guys.
This is a team that isn't afraid to come back in a game. Just how much do you preach the message of start to finish in this one specifically?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, we lived it in 2019 along with a lot of other teams have lived it since. So, I mean, it's going to be a four-quarter game. You know, when they got Mahomes back there and these guys on the perimeter making plays for them, they're never out of it, right? They're always one play away from getting back to a one-score game potentially. So, I think they understand that. They believe in their ability to come back as well. So, we're going to have to keep playing regardless of how the game goes early. We know it's going to be a four-quarter game regardless.
Did you realize what Simmons had done on the play where he pushes the lineman into the ball carrier? And what'd you think when you watched it back on tape?
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, you see the pad level, you see the technique, and you see just the brute strength, right? And it was great to show because it kind of illustrated a lot of the things we talk about, just being able to play the hands inside. And whenever you're able up front to play with that technique, you really – are able to release all the power, all the explosiveness that comes out. When you're not playing with technique and pad level, that's when all that ability kind of gets hindered a little bit. So it was a great teaching point, great clip for us, but he's a special player who's playing really well for us right now.
This year in terms of pass rushing in particular, have you seen him?
Yeah, much improved, much improved. I think Tierra's gained a ton of confidence this year. I do. I think he's playing at a different speed, not as reactive maybe. So he's able to kind of unleash a little bit of his power and explosiveness as well. And he's a tough matchup just because he's so big and so strong. And he's found ways to counter off of it, which it's been good for us. He's impacted quite a lot in the pass rush.
How much does that help out, Jeff? As well? I mean, obviously he's still going to get the attention, but still.
I think a ton. I mean, anytime we tell these guys all the time, anytime you're one-on-one, you better find a way to win. It's a one-on-one league, matchup league, inside, outside, regardless. Like, you get the one-on-one, we got to find a way to win. And then they're not able to kind of do whatever they want to do with Jeff because they got to worry about somebody else also.
How good to get Elijah back out here, and maybe what does he need to show you to prove to you he's ready to go?
Yeah, really good. I mean, he's been engaged. He's been around. Obviously, he's done a lot for us in the past. So hopefully this week here, as the week continues, we kind of see where he's at. Don't really have a lot of concerns in terms of mental for him. What we do schematically, he's done it, you know. It's more or less just where he's at from a physical standpoint as the week goes.
With this being a primetime game and against one of the top offenses, you know, do you kind of look at this as like a GPS game to show the rest of the league where your unit is?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's week to week. I mean, we're worried about us. We're worried about how we play, that we're showing improvement, which I think we have here these past 4 or 5 weeks. I think there's been some improvement, and it's just continuing to improve throughout the season, regardless of who we play. We got to keep improving, making sure we're honing in on details of whatever call we're making, the fundamentals, all those things. Those are the things you want to see as the season goes, and hopefully we can continue that trend. But I'm excited for the guys. They're excited for the opportunity to go out there and play, and obviously you play against the best. I mean, they're excited for that opportunity.
What kind of staff
has Christian taken in your secondary to really be an anchor over there? He's talked all week about, you know, wanting to be that next level NFL corner. Just kind of what have you seen from him and his growth this year?
Yeah, it's great to want to be that, but you got to go do it. You got to be consistent. I think he's been out there. He's been challenging. He's been tight in coverage. I think he's done a good job not panicking for the most part down the field. He's on body. He's tackling really well for us right now, showing up in the run game and the screen and some of that type of stuff. So he's developed in his game into being really able to do everything for us, you know. The biggest thing with him is just continue to challenge himself to do that, right? Like, to not, let's not talk about it. Let's go out there and show it week in and week out.
There you go. Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator, addressing the media earlier today, talking about the matchup against Kansas City. You know, I knew he'd be asked about Jeffrey Simmons, but I also knew he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't touch the other side.
There's no need for him, for Shane Bowen, to touch that. You know, it's something that Jeffrey Simmons did on a bye week. And a question was asked of him. He made, you know, he gave his answer, and then he sort of moved on. That's not something that, you know, we can ask Jeffrey all day if we want to about his comments, but Shane Bourne didn't have anything to do with that. You know, it's like, listen, what do you expect me to say? I want Jeffrey here. I want him to get paid, because if he get paid, he stays here.
Right.
If he wants 25, 30 million, give him 25, 30 million, because I know my defense is day and night better when he's on it. You know, it's starkly different when he's not on it. So if he wants $45 million, give it to him, you know, because it helps me as a defensive coordinator. So Shane Bowen, he's like, what do you want me to say, you know, as a coordinator? Is I'm preparing for Kansas City. Jeffrey's preparing for Kansas City. And we hope to go out as a defense and, you know, slow down this high-paced offense. I can't do anything about the contract stuff. I can't do anything about what Jeffrey Simmons said. It's not on me.
The best player on this team is Jeffrey Simmons.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. And speaking of, we'll get back into his contract situation, some things that he has said both in print and to the media. We'll do that coming up. But tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday live from Twin Peaks at 6134 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. You can join Jared Stillman, former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason, from 5 to 7 prior to the Titans taking on the Chiefs. Pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Superbook Sports, and An Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Little thriller. I texted you guys last night because I've been on a huge MJ kick.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just been.
He was like, "What was the best album?" I said Off the Wall, but then Thriller's up there too.
Bad's my favorite.
Bad is good, but see, Michael, you could just throw out any album.
It doesn't matter,
and you can rock to it.
Did you know that in, I think it's in like a week and a half, it's the 40th anniversary of Thriller.
Is it?
And they have a re-release that's coming out. It's all remastered.
I'm glad I got the old one.
Oh, yeah.
I want to buy a new one.
But it was funny. I was watching like videos of his old videos last night and, you know, just kind of went down a rabbit hole.
It's like memory lane.
The 25th anniversary of Motown when it was him and the Jackson 5.
Hey, man. He was one of the greats, the greatest.
Yeah, I was about to say, if not the
greatest. I would say he's the greatest. I mean, if I could have seen him in concert, I would have loved
Me too.
You know, I'm glad I got a chance to see the late, great Prince in concert.
So you're in the same boat as my mom, because I asked her, because she loved MJ too. I said, did you ever get to see him live? And she goes, no, I actually had a choice between Prince and Michael, because they were coming around the same time, and I chose Prince. Mm-hmm. So she saw Prince, but not Michael.
Exactly. I saw Prince here, and he did the whole concert solo.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. Oh, it was awesome.
I'm sure. So. Both were fantastic. Jeffrey Simmons, though. Mm-hmm. The contract situation, there was an article in The Athletic that's a profile piece on him that Dan Pompey did a tremendous job of that you need to go read. But there is a line, you know, or subject in there talking about his contract mm-hmm. and what his next contract is going to look like. And there is a quote that he says that he and the Titans discussed his future during the offseason. He says, quote, "It was, we want you to be here, but we don't know exactly when we'll be able to pay you." He says, "The Titans were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to offer you what you think you're worth. We want to pay you, but we don't know where it's going to come from." That's basically what it was, and not an offer. So, of course, he's asked about it yesterday and says, "Hey, I'm focused on Kansas City. I'm not worried about my contract and all that stuff," which he is and he should be, and that's fine. And, you know, there he's allowed to certainly do that. But then he took to Twitter, like his former teammate, A.J. Brown, loved to do, mm-hmm. and said, "Listen, I love where I'm at. I love this organization and, most of all, my teammates. I'm not worried about a contract. I'm focused on winning. Next story, please." Okay, Jeff, if that's fine, but you kind of made it a story because you brought it up. It was brought up to you in this Dan Pompey piece. You talked about it. So naturally, people are going to read it, and then they're going to ask you about it. Mm-hmm. So you can't just say, "Hey, I don't want to talk about it," even though you're talking about it. That's just kind of what this is.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, these guys think that, you know, that they get defensive really quick. And I understand it. I get it to a point because you want to protect your space. And, you know, sometimes things can be said or written that are untrue or mischaracterized or misquoted. So I get that. I understand Jeffrey from that standpoint. But, Jeff, you brought it up. However it was asked of you, you brought it up. And, well, you chose to answer it. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to say you brought it up because I wasn't there. But you chose to answer it. And your answer fueled other questions from whether it be us here on this show, the morning show, or the afternoon show, or anybody. It fueled our questions. Like, okay, what's going on? You know, what's going to happen if Jeffrey doesn't get a contract? Or should they have signed him last year? Jeffrey, are you worried about your contract? You can't get upset. And I'm not saying that he is, but you can't get defensive when these questions are asked of you in a locker room setting or at the podium. You just can't. And again, is he upset? He's probably not. He's probably just want to move on and whatnot. But it's almost that combative nature. And again, I understand why it is. But you shouldn't want to take that type of approach when you were the one that chose to answer the question that was asked of you. You could have said, like you said to Jarrett during during camp, "Hey, I'm not talking about it right now. I know it's not camp, but you said, I'm not talking about it right now. You know, I know it's the bye week, but we still got X amount of games left. I'll worry about that after the season."
Right.
You know, and you could have squashed it all. But I think sometimes these guys think they're so conditioned that, you know, you can't, you know, play football and do other things. Yeah, you can. The coaches are doing it. They're coaching football and they're doing other things.
Sure.
Owners do it. They buy teams. They come and see their team, but they're doing other things. They got a whole bunch of other things they're doing. So you should be able to walk and chew bubblegum and watch TV if you wanted to and look at your phone if you wanted to. You know, sometimes you get conditioned that you can't do all these things at one time. And if you try to do it, it's somehow, some way wrong. It's not wrong that, you know, you wanted a new contract, but the Titans, they told you what they told you in offseason, and you were cool with it. You were cool with it. You went and played, and you're playing phenomenal right now, as you did last year. And what he should understand, and I'm pretty sure he does, listen, the better I play, the more money they're going to have to pay me. And as much as I love this team, I enjoy Coach Vrabel. I love this city. My loyalty to you is as long as those zeros are on that check. And if somebody else offers some more money, not just a little bit more, because it's not going to be a little bit more, but if they offer a substantial amount to where I have to go back and say, whoa, then I'm gone.
Right.
You know, because again, you only play this sport for so long. You know, you're dealing with billionaires that whether you're here or not, they're going to make money. You can't say that for yourself. So you got to make all the money that you can when you can do it, when you are at your peak. And Jeffrey right now is just about at his peak. And he deserves every dime and nickel that he gets. So if the Titans want to pay him, great, stay here. That'd be great for him. That'd be great for the Titans. That'd be great for the city. But if they don't step up to the plate, then you got to understand, and I'm sure he does, and I'm sure his people are telling him, listen, if they don't step up, man, we may have to go somewhere else, and you got to be okay with that.
Right.
You know?
And that's kind of where, you know, we'll see if it gets to that. Now, Chris Sanders, who, of course, is part of our pregame show, was asked about it yesterday when he was on with Stillman and Company, and I thought he gave an interesting take.
And I hate to say this. If I was him, I wouldn't play another game. That's just me. I'm just saying me because, you know, you get hurt, you have zero leverage. Now he has leverage to say, you know what, I want to get a big payday to set my family up for the rest of their life. So it's not just about him. It's more variables that are intertwined in this thing.
So if you were Jeffrey Simmons, you would come out on Wednesday before the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday night football game, and you would say, I am not playing this weekend because I want a contract and I'm not going to risk it.
You know, the reason why I would say that because it would get their attention. That's just my. It would definitely get their attention. Be like, okay, you know what? We got to go down to Kansas City and we're going to have to play our best game to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And all of a sudden, you say Simmons doesn't show up. That gets their attention to say, you know what? We got to make sure we keep this guy in because we can't win without him.
That's Chris Sanders yesterday on Stillman and Company saying if it was him, he would sit out.
I think that'd be. And listen, I don't know the collective bargaining in and out, but I don't think he could just sit out under the collective bargaining agreement. I don't think he could just walk away without being fined and everything else. But maybe, you know, maybe he's prepared for that if indeed that was something he chooses to do. But I don't think Jeffrey's going to take that route because then it does become more about you and not the team. If you just walk away from the team, you're not just walking away from the organization, like front office, because what you're really upset at front office because they didn't get a deal done. But when you walk away, like now you're turning your back on the team, and they have nothing to do. They want you to get paid. Your team wants you to get paid. They want you to walk in here and be the highest paid defensive lineman in the National Football League ever. They don't care. That means you're here with them.
Right.
But then you can't, again, you can't lump them in with management and say, I'm just walking away. Y'all either sign me to a deal or not.
Before we get to Elliot Friedman, you know, something we haven't brought up yet, but sad news out of the NFL today. Legendary punter Ray Guy passing away at the age of 72. He's a Hall of Famer, considered to be the greatest punter ever, passing away after a battle with an illness. Todd on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I ain't doing that again.
Don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, me either. I guess that was Todd, and Todd didn't know he was on the phone.
Nope.
I can't talk, Todd. Sorry.
Well, he wanted to weigh in on Ray Guy.
Yeah, he wanted to weigh in.
Guess we will move on, or maybe that was bad timing. Yeah. I don't know. We will talk to Elliot Friedman coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.